Amen.
Amen.
Actually, we would look at Philippians, first chapter, in the 15th through the 25th verses. I did not want to purposely, again, I did not want to ask for anything in particular, because this, like I guess, like all the passages of Scripture are, it's so rich in so many things here. I think there's a few verses that I think are commonly quoted and used in here. I didn't want to go to the obvious, but I don't know what the Lord laid on anyone in particular's hearts or thoughts in this passage. So I'm very curious to, hear what everyone has drawn from this passage. So having said that, I bow to anyone that wants to share what they want, what they at least one thing that they pulled from this passage.
Okay, you started at the 15th verse. This is Paul talking to us, I believe. And okay, I'm gonna read that scripture. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. That's the 15th verse. Paul is saying to us that some preach out of envy and rivalry. Some preach out of the goodness of God, and some preach to make themselves look good. Some preach with sincerity.
You're telling me everything that's written right in front of me, but what do you draw from this? And that's only the one verse. I'm hoping, whatever you got from this whole passage, we started at the 15th verse, but I asked us to start there, but I don't know where you ended, or you might have went ahead. I don't know.
And okay. I just got a chance to read this tonight. I mean, not earlier, but I just got a chance to look at it. Some preachers preach out of vainglory, they for themselves to what's that word? How they don't do it for Christ, they do it out of self. They're preaching out of out of themselves. They're not utilizing the Holy Spirit. That's what I got out of.
Okay. How you doing, D?
Hey, how's everybody?
All
That was
right.
one of the things that what Auntie brought out was what she brought out was I thought was crucial, but I kind of looked at it differently. I looked at it like even though what appears could be not a genuine motive, it still has a benefit to it as far as Christ being preached and Paul looking at it like that. So even if I like one of them people that like to I like to prove people wrong, so I'm gonna debate this thing about Christ. Like at the end of the day, Christ is still being preached, you know. And he said, "Look, either way, it's a good thing. Like even though their motives may be a little off, it's still a good thing because Christ is being preached." And then when you get to another thing that stood out is the fact that, you know, preaching the gospel, it just shows like the level of excitement that Paul has for preaching the gospel, and how serious he is about preaching gospel, but yet, you know, eager to see Christ. But he said, I thought it was interesting that came out to me this time reading it. It was the fact that I feel like the Holy Spirit ministered to him and said, much as you want to be here, he says, I just want to bring that out real quick. He says, convinced. He says, hold on, I highlighted it. Says, I'm eager to expect the hope that I will no way be ashamed of. Wait, he said, but I don't see it right here, but he says convinced.
21st verse.
Oh
I
yeah,
think
here
you're
it
talking
is.
about the
Twenty, the
21st.
25th. Yeah, 25th verse. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you to help for your progress. So even though Paul was like, yeah, I would love to be with Christ, he said, it was revealed to him, or I believe it was revealed to him, that he's still going to remain to aid people in their progress in the faith. So I don't know. I just thought that was crucial. I'm not saying it means anything particular to anybody, but I thought that was some important points that Paul brought out.
Okay.
But even as I said that real quick, just the last thing,
No, go ahead.
I don't think that sometimes I feel like we feel like we got to match Paul's energy as believers. And I don't feel like we have to match his energy. This is his excitement for preaching the gospel. I do think we need, of course, we need to cultivate our relationship with Christ, but I don't feel like we have to match his energy, and we shouldn't feel bad if we don't feel like the conviction of preaching the gospel like he did.
Okay. I
I
mean,
mean,
would
I,
that,
yeah.
like not put us in that same category of rivalry if we started thinking that way? What do you think? That's maybe just a step away from starting to think, okay, he preaches, he's very charismatic, and he uses a lot of fancy words. I should be doing something like that too. Now it becomes almost that rivalry thing. What do you think? We can start getting into that. Oh man, I want to preach like a sound like Dr. King when he preached, be able to, to hoop like him, or to be able to have that type of voice, or this other preacher, he the way he formulates such fine phrases and words, and Paul, didn't Paul warn us about that type of thing before? He says it's not for our much speaking, our fancy words and all of that stuff.
Okay. All right.
He said, we do that, then the cross becomes of no effect or availability. Is that not what Paul said? He gets so, but oh man, I didn't forget, man. I tore the house up that last night. Fired the folks jumping in the aisles and falling out the benches and getting their dance on and all that. So what was it about you? Was it
See,
about how
see.
you, but how you said what you said, or when it should be about what you say. We want so-and-so to come. Why did he come? Oh man, he's a great preacher. What makes him so great? Oh man, the way he did it. And it's a lot of times, if you listen, it's not about the word itself. It's about how they present the word.
You see, yeah.
And that's what Paul is warning us of. The cross becomes a ill effect or no effect. It's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's always about Christ. It's about Christ.
Always.
Good to see that you're here, Peachy. And we'll give way to you. I don't know what you wanted to, if you wanted to bring anything out that you saw in this past. You know how we do. I don't want to keep anybody from bringing out something that they brought. If you want
No,
something.
no, I didn't. No, I'm nothing in particular I wanted to bring out. It's interesting, of course. I heard nephew Ron, Deacon Ron, yeah, and yeah,
Okay.
I kind of yeah, I picked up on stuff like that, from Paul, his message and his presentation. He was, yeah, I said, yeah, he was.
I'm gonna
A
tell you.
strong, he was a strong believer of what he was preaching.
Well, Paul is no, nobody can doubt. I don't believe anybody would ever doubt Paul's sincerity and his passion, because just as passionate as he was against believers, when he got when he became a believer himself, he showed just the same passion. If we read about the things that Paul went through,
Oh
and
boy,
he still
yeah.
continued to go through. Well, he was some kind of guy, and I hear what Deacon Smith was saying. No, to match his passion and all that, you got to be some kind of man.
You got to
You know,
be.
the
Yes,
physical
yes.
sufferings he went through, the dangers that
Oh.
he went through, and his travels, and oh my goodness, and then to be able to to write with such power and boldness and conviction. Oh my goodness. This passage right in here, again, like I say, it's always say it's so filled with so much. I'm just gonna hit on this a little bit. We can get deeper as much as we want to. We can just believe me, we can spend just in these few verses here, we probably could spend a month in here.
Oh, dear.
He's look at what he says. He starts out in this 15th verse. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Now, I want you to focus on if there's two words, and this just those few verses that words that I read, what that I said I don't want you to forget, what do you think they would be? Just two words. And what I just
Me,
read, just
I
two.
think, I would
I'm gonna
think,
read it again for the benefit of those who
okay,
may not have it in front of them.
all right.
It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Now,
I have the
if
King
I say to
James, it
you,
says
you can
something
only
different.
take two words out of there. And you say, heck, I want somebody to get something out of this here. What two words would you put? Would you pick?
I have the King James Version. It had a couple of different words
Well,
to
you can
reread.
reread it if you want.
The 15th said, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill." For me, I think the standout words will be envy and strife.
Okay, anybody else? There's no right or wrong. I'm just throwing my
Okay.
opinion.
Different people, yeah.
You say envy and strife? You muted, D. If you're talking, you're muted.
I'm saying preach is key. If I had to do another one, I would just say preach Christ.
That's where I'm at. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
that's exactly where I'm at with this. You know? Now, and I'm gonna tell you what, and I was hoping you would pick that up because you mentioned that in the other passage when you was coming up. When you remember what he said? Well, when you said that, when you in your explaining of it, in the 18th verse, when you talk about, Christ is preaching. Those are the key. And I don't want y'all to forget that point because it's going to come back to us again. That is very key. I'm not saying it's the only key, but it's very key as we continue on in this passage. Before we do so, I see you here, Deacon Moose. Did you have anything that you wanted to pull out of this passage before we continue on?
No, thank you. Y'all go ahead on. I'll catch up in a minute.
So now you got Paul saying it is true that some preach Christ. Now that's the key. To me, that's the key. What they're preaching Christ. But it goes beyond that, but that's key. All right? And some of them are doing it, like you said, out of envy and rivalry. Okay, but the key thing is they're preaching Christ. Don't negate that. All right. Now, and he explains why, why did some are doing it, the ones that are doing it out of
Envy and strife.
envy and strife or envy and rivalry. They may do that, whatever. But look at what Paul says. I don't want to just dwell on that. Look what he says in the 18th verse. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether they were doing it out of envy, strife, or out of goodwill, whether from false motives or true motives, Christ is preached.
It is being taught.
Amen.
Oh, wow.
Christ is preached. And I feel that this is very important for so many reasons. Like we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, we have a lot of very charismatic preachers. And that word charismatic can be interpreted in many different ways. But I mean the meaning of it is going to be the same, but how somebody, what you call one person charismatic, somebody may not. Some people may say that Dr. Charles Stanley was charismatic. And somebody says, charismatic, the man, hardly moved when he preached, and you know, but the way he utilized some of his phrases, the way he talked, you could see sometimes when he was very, very passionate about what he was saying. And at that moment, you might say he showed a lot of charisma, or he was very charismatic. So that could be interpreted, you know, as like they say about beauty in the eyes of the beholder. Okay. I like what Paul was saying right here. It doesn't matter. Long as Christ is preached, that's the key. Because today, we have many different preachers out here saying a whole lot of stuff. Now, I'm not talking about these guys say, well, long they preaching Christ. I mean, they preaching what they want to call now the, what about the money? Well, y'all know what I'm trying to say, the prosperity gospel.
Prosperity.
And you got these people that are preaching a whole lot of things. Well, God wants us to have the best of everything. You should be the head and not the tail, and you should be. And they're mixing a lot of scripture in what they're trying to say. That to me, that's not Christ being preached. That's not Christ being, and that's the key, right? Why I say to me, that's the key, because just because a person can be in mix. A lot of gospel scripture, what they're saying, I always fall back. I'm sorry, you know, it's not gospel. But when all Rose always said, there's no bigger lie than one mixed with the truth. Okay? You got a lot of people, they mix scripture up in what they're trying to get across. And we, in turn, they preaching something sound. But wait a minute. And the Lord showed us this example. And to me, the biggest example he showed us in scripture is Satan. Call himself quoting scripture. When you talk about, yeah, you can do this here, then the word say his angels will take charge, or you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing there, you know, but y'all know it. In there, he mixed a lot of good words, but he left just a couple of words out of there that were very important. And suddenly we got preachers that do that so well today. They'll take a couple of words out, or they'll put a couple of words in, okay? Change them a little bit, and it changes the whole meaning. One of the most famous ones is people, how many people in the word in the world have you heard say, yeah, money is the root of all evil? And y'all, we all know that it's the love of money. But just taking those couple of words out. We may not ever know how much damage has been done to people with those words taken out, feeling as though, oh no, money's the root of all evil. I don't need it. I'm gonna pay my bills. I work. I pay my bills. The rest of this money, and put food on the table. The rest of it, I give away. I don't have no bank account. You have people that say that. I don't have no bank account. I have no saving account because I don't want to have money laying around.
Oh, damn.
Because they misconstrue what they think is the word. Oh, you'd be surprised how, I mean, their intentions are good, and the Lord knows their heart is in the right place, but they're misunderstanding the word. And people say, well, I feel sorry for them. Well, Deacon Moses here. And in this example, I'll say this. Some of that I'll blame on this. But the word, the Lord tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. What? A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing
Rightly.
the word of truth. Not putting it where I want to put it, not putting it where it belongs, not leaving this out, not adding that in, rightly dividing the word of truth. I love that passage. You know, one of the big things I always bring out, y'all heard me in the past, you know, a workman that needed not be ashamed, letting us always remember we are on the job. A workman. Approved unto God. Deacon Moses, yes. You're muted right now.
Another synopsis is we know, we all know that David was a man after God's own heart. That's scripture. However, when a lot of people say, well, David was the apple of God's eye, that's not scripture. The scripture is David praying. He's saying, Lord, please don't stop me from being the apple of your eye. That is not the Lord saying he is the apple of his eye. And people, they live off of that. That David was the apple of God's eye. Not so. Not so. Not so.
Yeah, and that's another classic example of some people, how people take certain things and run with it. And we see that example all the time. So when David, I mean, when Paul is saying here, what does it, when Christ is preached, that is the key, even today. I don't care about these fancy preachers. I don't care about these people, these ones that have these mega churches. Listen to what they're saying. You know, I some of y'all may remember, I've shared it with y'all before. When Sam Cooke had to get another guitarist for his band, because y'all remember Bobby Womack was his guitarist for a while.
Oh, but no.
He had to get another guitarist, and he had his band auditioning people in. He wasn't there when they first started. You know, he came in, and they were like, Sam, look at this guy. Check this guy out. Oh, this guy was just as fancy and doing all that. And they would, and Sam Cooke said to them, okay, turn around and listen to him. They looked at each other and said, turn around, listen to him. And when they did that, they could really hear what he was playing. They realized he ain't really playing that much. He ain't playing that, but he looked so good, so charismatic, the way he was doing stuff, they were thrown, they were blown away.
Okay.
And this is what happens with a lot of these preachers we have today. You know, they get, we get all caught up in all of that there, and we ain't listening to what they are saying.
Right, yeah.
When Paul says, Christ is preached, do not ignore those words. That's the key to all of this. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you say, well, I'm going to show I'm just as good as preaching him. If he's preaching Christ, well, I'm listening to his message. He might be up there preaching Christ, and I've seen a whole lot of people. We've seen a whole lot of things being done in the pulpit. I've read guys that would read old times. They don't do it too much today. I don't know because I don't see them. They would read the scripture. They take the handkerchief and put it over the Bible. So they ain't going to go back. And I mean little
oh, wow.
Funny things like that. You know? Saying, wow, he must really know his Bible. He didn't even go back into it. He never moved that handkerchief. He knows his Bible. You know? And he might. Don't get me wrong. But that's a little bit of vanity involved, you know, in what he's doing. And Paul said, okay, did he preach Christ? Yeah. Did he preach the gospel? Yeah. Keep it moving. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus say to the disciples when they came across that guy who was healing in Jesus' name? Not just preaching, healing in Jesus' name.
Healing, okay.
Okay, oh, you want us to get rid of him? They want us to shut him up? No! No! Just because he's not with us, just because he don't belong to our local church, just because he's, you know, with us, he's, you know, hey, he's still preaching me. He's talking about me. He's doing this in my name. Where do you think the power is coming from that enables him to do this? We forget the big picture. Ain't but two driving forces in the world. And I don't know, I could be wrong, but I thought I read somewhere where Satan don't cast out Satan. I may be wrong. So if he's casting demons out in my name, that power has to come from on high. Oh, y'all don't hear it. Let me keep
you're right, you're right. You're right.
You know, so now this, so and Deacon Smith brought that out, and I was going to read. I wish you could see my nose. I got the same stuff. I think Deacon Mo did the same thing last time we met. Well, he was bringing exactly what I have right here on my nose. Okay, so Paul is getting the air cleared right there. He preaching Christ. As long as Christ is preached, I don't care if he's doing it flamboyantly or what have you. Long as Christ is being preached. That is the key. So when you see these guys out here today that's preaching and they gotta have their own jets, they gotta have their big houses, they gotta have all of this here, listen to them. Yo, wait a minute, this guy, he's preaching that prosperity thing. I'm not talking about no scripture mixed with his foolishness. That in Christ being reaped. You don't need Christ plus anything. You know, you don't. You need Christ. We have been so indoctrinated and how things have to be so quick. How would you have liked to be in the temple back then when Jesus and them, when they sit there and open up Isaiah and they reading it all? I mean, they read, how would you like to be in the service then? You know, I wish somebody, and if y'all come across this, y'all help me out. I read this a long time ago. It only comes to my mind every now and then, but I have to search and find it. Where's the passage of scripture where the I don't know who's the preacher, the priest, whoever it was, he's getting ready to have service, and they all got happy, and he laid it. And it didn't even start yet. And they were happy he was getting ready. I've been to one church. I see people that symbolize it, but I've been to one church, and it took me for a loop. They were getting ready to have the offering. Everybody shouted like he was preaching the word. Oh, my God. That's what they did at that church. They get ready to give their offering. And they were shouting, oh, praise the God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, man. I said, wow. Wow. We say that, yeah, the offering is part of your worship. But for that church that I was in, I can't remember where it was. I was like, oh, my goodness. They're getting ready to give money. They're happy and shouting. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about genuinely. Mm. I ain't talking about, you know, no. At least it felt genuine to me and it looked genuine. I said, well, praise the Lord. So anyway, now, you got Paul making that statement. Now watch what did that. Now I want y'all to get this. Don't miss what Paul is saying here. Now I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, y'all know he's talking about because he was locked up. Okay, he was in prison. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
Where is that, right? Now, watch this. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You see right there and there, just in those two verses, Christ is the center of everything he said. You hear this? But what does he mean by this? I expected that I would in no way be ashamed, but would have sufficient courage. What do y'all think he's talking about? Now, you can read it in the King James. It's going to read a little bit different. That's the 19th to 20th verse.
Okay.
If y'all want to read it there, and tell me what you think he's talking about here.
He's saying no matter what, he's not going to be ashamed of the gospel. And he's still going to have courage to talk about it and praise God.
Why? What does it say in the King James?
Number 19. The 20. According to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death.
Now that we read that, what do you think it means? You hear, you see the word? What does it mean to you?
Well, he's going to be faithful to what his teaching, whether it do him in or not. He's going to be with the Lord.
That's part of it. Now, but what does he mean that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. What does it mean? No, it'd be a shame, but we'll have sufficient courage. What do you think he's saying here?
Well, Paul.
Yes, go ahead, D.
Paul has an unwavering Holy Ghost boldness. And it's not going to waver no matter what comes. He said, life, death, prison, freedom. I'm going to stay in this word of God. That's it.
You're right there, D. You're right. But why did he say, but we'll have sufficient courage? Why? You hit it. I mean, my
enough.
gosh, you're right there on it.
Sufficient means enough. Enough. We'll have all the courage.
You said it, but rephrase what you said. You said it.
Oh.
The courage is to face what's to come when you don't know what's coming.
Okay, come on. Yeah. And he said, look, I won't know it'd be ashamed. In other words, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be let what may happen to me, life or death. Either, like you said, that's why I said you were right. You're right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
I'm not going to let that
yeah.
determine
whether
I
live yes.
or whether I die. You
mm-hmm.
know? But he wasn't arrogant because he said,
no.
You know, I expect and hope that I will not be ashamed, but I will have
okay.
sufficient courage. I'm praying
okay.
that my faith don't fail me.
Yes.
What
yes.
happened to Peter? Who was it?
Yeah.
Peter was a very strong, right on for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But his faith failed him. And he's praying that, see, Paul, when we study and read about Paul, then I think it'll give us a deeper understanding of what he's saying here. Paul's been through a lot and is going through something now. But he's saying, he's praying that he don't give up. In other words, he don't want to get weary in his well-doing.
Yes.
Okay? He's praying, and he's not so bold to say, I'm going to keep going on no matter what. No, I'm praying that I don't. He's admitting
oh,
that
yes, Lord,
he
yes.
can fall too. He can fail too. But he's believing. See what he said? I expect. I
yes.
eagerly expect.
Eagerly.
And hope that I will in no way be ashamed. I in no way falter. In no way be afraid. All of that works in there.
Yes.
That's a powerful piece. What y'all think? Don't y'all think that's
yeah,
a powerful
that is
piece?
Something. Yes.
He's encouraging himself.
Yes. And look at what he said prior to that. See, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what he's saying. This is why we should believe in the prayers of the saints, the folks who praying for us. For in the 19th verse. For I know that through your prayer and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
What has happened to me would turn out for my deliverance. That's almost what he said was going to happen to me. Would turn out for my what? What do we like to say today?
For my good.
For my good. For my good. I know what happened to me. This is now he's realizing what he's going through. It's not about me. This is what I love about this man. And that's what we talked about Sunday. It's all about Christ. You see how he diverts everything and makes Christ the center of everything he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You see how he's doing that? You see how he's making it all about Christ? From the 15th verse, it's true that I preach Christ. Okay? Whether they sincere, whether they're not sincere, preach Christ. Okay? I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He almost got to mention Christ almost in every sentence. Okay? So that now as always.
Mm-hmm.
Christ will be exalted. Not me. He's putting it, you understand? It ain't about me. It's all about Christ. Now, we, you know, and we all want to, you know, y'all know to jump in. Now, listen, when he says in that 21st verse, to me, I like how it says in the King James, be ready to read this King James, PG. You might be the only or anybody else that has. In this 21st verse, for to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Somebody got to explain that to me. Make that sense. Make sense to me.
For me to live is Christ.
Is that the way it reads in the King James as well?
Oh, wow. That's what it reads. Yeah. Yeah.
Come somebody make sense to that for us. We're a little bit of bamboozled. Somebody makes sense. Somebody make some sense.
Oh, for to me.
What does that always mean to you? And I think Deacon Mose may have mentioned something about this earlier. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's read a little bit more. Read that 22nd verse with it. Maybe that helps.
But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet What I shall choose, I want not.
See, I like how that's why I chose the NIV this past. It says in the NIV, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Okay? You know, just pause it for a minute. What does he mean? What is he talking about? What's fruitful labor for him? What do you think he's talking about here?
Well,
What do you think? If you don't know, you don't know.
Well, if he die, he'll be with the Lord for
what
living
is the labor?
For him.
But what is the labor? What
so
is
his
the
work
labor?
The work he has done for and preaching and
there you
trying
go.
To bring souls
there
to Christ.
you go there you go there you go His preaching, what he's doing, is fruitful labor. What he's doing is fruitful. Well, what makes it fruitful? Very simple. Don't think too hard on it. What makes it fruitful? What
He's
makes
getting
it
an increase. He's getting an increase. He's getting an increase.
What do you mean by that? He's getting
souls saved. He's
there,
getting,
there it is.
Yeah.
There it
that's
is.
What I was, yeah. Bring,
there it is.
Bringing souls to Christ.
Souls bringing the souls. See, again, it's all about Christ. That's what makes
it's
it
all about
fruitful.
Christ, yes.
If one soul comes to the Lord, that message was worthwhile. I don't care if it's 100 people in the congregation. But if one came up and accepted the Lord, that made that message worthwhile.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm,
that's who that message was for then. That
and
person,
that's what it's about.
Or at least that is the one who received.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what he's talking about. It's fruitful labor. Yes, it's work. Mm-hmm. He's doing it, but it's fruitful.
Fruitful, yeah.
That's what he's saying. And then, but look what else he said. All right. Now. Now, that's what he means when he said, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What he's saying, for me to live, this is what he enjoys. This is fruitful labor. For me to get out of here free. For me to get out of here and work and do the ministry of the Lord. Hey, that's what living is about. This is where Paul was in his life. This is what it's about for me. And if I die, whoa, gosh, I'm dying. Oh man, I gotta die and go spend eternity with the Lord. I gotta die and go spend eternity in heaven. I gotta die
and be with the Lord. That's your game. That's your game.
But check this out. It's not just what he's even showing a contrast there. Me preaching everything is fruitful. I'm getting maybe some people are pointing out because of the ministry that I'm exhibiting, souls are coming. But when I die, it's all about, that's all for me. And I don't care, you know, has anybody ever done anything that you got so tired? I don't care if you went on a long run or you were working out or you were playing in a game. And I don't even have to ask Deacon Moon. You've been in boot camp, so I ain't got to go no further. But, okay, but if you've done something, you wore out, and just to be able to lay down and rest felt so good. Think about you in your ministry even today. You're witnessing. You're looking for opportunities to be an ambassador for the Lord. You're looking for an opportunity to expound on the word. You're looking for an opportunity to rightly divide the word. And then when finally the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes.
And takes you home, that you can go in that place that he's been preparing for you all this time. That's gain. That's when you rest. Even the world has a part way, right? They go, I can sleep when I'm dead. I can rest when I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know, they say that to people, they say that because they're working so hard, you work so hard, you know, I can rest when I'm dead. Well, in a lot of ways, we need to have that same attitude. Okay? You know, I got work to do. You know, I want to be like the old saints used to say. I don't want to rust out, sit around and just wear out. No, I want to wear out. I don't want to sit around and just be all rusty. Oh, Lord, here I come. Here come get, no, let me be on the job. Let me be on the job. Lord, come and give me the, you know, yeah, let me go. I don't want to, what they used to say, I don't let them catch me with what? With one work undone. shucks. And this is what Paul is saying. Yeah, this is fruitful labor for me. It's work. It's laborious, but it's fruitful. And if I die, he said, he already said to it, you know, if I die, Christ will be exalted. Mm-hmm. It's all about Christ. But y'all don't believe that. Now, with all knowing all of this, he says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. I do. Which is better by far. But, he said, but it's more necessary for you. Now he's talking to the church, the saints in Philippi, he's talking to them. It's more necessary for you that I remain here. I remain in the body. In other words, that I don't die. That's what he's talking about. Okay. So he said, convinced of this, because he's weighing between what he wants for himself. He's saying, listen, I'm chained up, and death might be pretty much imminent for me. And, you know, the Lord see that I'm on my way. And he wasn't worried about it. I'm on my way to be with the Lord. He said, that's going to be good for me. That's ultimately what we all are going, we want. He said, but it would be more beneficial for y'all if I stay here and continue to, you know, to teach and preach Christ. So he said, well, I'm convinced of this. I know that I'll remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Mm-hmm. All we think from this 15th all the way to the last words in these few verses is about Christ. He diverts everything to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
He lets us know that that's what that's about. This is the reason why I do what I do. Don't matter if I die in the process. He said, the Lord's going to be exalted, and me, I'm going to gain the ultimate prize. You know, so yeah, it's a win-win. He said, he was so passionate about this, so sincere about what he was doing. He said he couldn't make up his mind. How could he make up his mind in the 23rd verse? I'm torn between the two. My desire to be with Christ, okay. But, you know, and also, yeah, he said, like he said earlier, my fruitful labor, which is ministering the word.
Yes.
I don't know what I get more enjoyment from. I get instant gratification preaching the word. When I preach that, what the Lord has given me to preach, teach that what He told me to teach. I'm getting instant gratification from that. But I'll get the ultimate gratification. When I get to be with him. Don't have to go to the dangerous places anymore. Don't have to get stoned again. Don't have to get all the ball went through a whole lot. Don't have to be in storms where we get ready to go under. We're on our way to Davy Jones locker. Okay?
Oh no, not Davy Jones.
Yes. You know, been through the jungle, the animals are chasing them. You know, all kinds of stuff he went through.
Yeah.
That was A, that was fruitfully. that's what the job called for. You look at the example of Paul's life, some of us say, oh, I could have done all of that. You could have if that's where the Lord sent you and you're being obedient, because he's the one that's keeping it. But Paul went through a lot. He went through a lot. A lot of people take for granted when he says that thorn in the flesh. That was painful for him. That wasn't like a little splinter he had, whatever it was. It was painful. It was torment. In some passages of scripture, when you pray that, you know, he was being tormented. It was painful. And he went to the Lord a few times about it, three times. Mm-hmm. The Lord finally said, listen, my grace is sufficient. A lot of us, I don't know if we understand what he means. The Lord was giving him what he needed to bear that pain, whatever that pain was. The Lord gave him what he needed to bear it. And what I love to put out, yeah, I see the thing, I'll give you in a minute. And what I love to add to that, you see nowhere where Paul stopped minister, even though he was going through what he went through, he still continued to minister. Think about it.
Okay.
Back to what you were saying about he didn't give up. That's an example also to all of us not to give up. You got Daniel. He was praying, and the Lord ain't answer him. He started fasting. And he fasted for 21 days till the angel came down and told him, from the day you first prayed, the Lord heard you. Hezekiah, the prophet came to him and said, you getting ready to die. He said, okay, prophet, go ahead on. I'm going to talk to the Lord myself. And
that's
he
right.
did. Mm-hmm. They don't give mm-hmm. up. And that's the example for all of us. Yes, you might get bad news from the doctor, but that's not the end of it. They say what they see on their report. Unless the Lord miraculously extend your life, miraculously heal you, which he can do, all of that, we don't know what's going to happen. Man's timetable is not God's timetable.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you're saying something, you're pointing something out again there, D. And a lot of things that happen to us in our lives, a lot of times we ask God, can you take this away? Can you take that away? No. I don't need to take it away. I just need you to give you the strength to get through it. I need to enhance your patience so that you can wait for me as I'm bringing you through it. He gives us these things so that as we are going through. Oh, Lord, they're about to throw me overboard. Lord, let me land on solid ground and make the water so I can walk on it. You know, I'll give you the ability to swim. You keep on swimming. See, the Lord has his way of doing things. Not that necessarily a piggyback on what Deacon Moses said. It don't have to be the way we want it to be.
Yes.
It don't have to be the way we want. He said, no, I'm teaching you patience here. You wait for me. You know, I'm teaching you this. I'm teaching you perseverance. I'm teaching you this. And you grab, we need to be able to grab the lesson. And the Lord knows the ultimately what we need. We don't.
Yes.
We think we do.
No.
But God knows. No. That's why we need to put our trust in Him.
Trust in Him.
Amen.
Instead of wondering, Lord, why am I doing this? Why is this happening? Okay, Lord, I guess you got a plan for me. I don't know what your plan is, but it's, enable me to go through it. We assume that it bothers me. When I hear, these same preachers that talk about God is omniscient, act as if these things are a surprise to him. Mm-hmm. I think somebody mentioned something in that vein earlier. It's no surprise to the Lord. How can you turn around and, be, and hear these so-called scholarly people say that, I said it to somebody and I didn't get him. He said, God did not make hell for man. But why is men going in there? God will say, well, God had no way else to put him. Like he got, what happened is a surprise. I said, why would you say that? He didn't make it for man. Isn't it for the devil and his what?
Demons.
Well, if you decide to follow Satan, what are you?
A demon.
And you one of his servants, one of his followers. Not so much the demon in the spiritual mode, it's for his and his followers. That's what heaven is for. If you're not, hell is for. If you're not gonna follow the Lord, who else you follow? Ain't but two to follow.
Yeah.
Mercy.
And then turn around and say, like, well, God didn't think that man was gonna do this. If you want to say that and mean that, stop preaching to me. That God is omniscient. Stop it. Don't mean there's something that God left out or he didn't think about. Stop talking about he's omnipresent. Because you're making it sound like it snuck up on him like he wasn't there all the time. He's Alpha and Omega. There is no future with him. Just like there's no past. What we look back on, what did Jesus say? I'm about to leave this thing alone. No, this is what y'all gonna get. This is what y'all gonna get. Okay.
Let me go get my offering.
Yeah, well, what did Jesus say
again?
What did he say before Abraham was? I what?
I am.
I am.
He didn't say I was before Abraham was. I was not before Abraham was. I am. That's what the Lord said. I
Yes,
am
it
Alpha
is.
and
Yes.
Omega. Not Alpha then Omega. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning as well as the end.
Yes.
Now you can think in your finite in your finite thinking what I'm the beginning of. You can figure that out for yourself. You said, well, you must be at the beginning of time. What time? What, your time? There's no time with me. I've always been here. You know, we forget who we're talking about sometimes. You know, and like I said, as if God is surprised at what's going on here. It's hard, that's because it's hard for us to conceive in our mind that everything that's happening there is happening in the world. It has happened. God always knew.
Yes.
He always knew. He's always been here. And then, so in our thinking, in our, I don't know what you want to call it, we want to question God, well, God, why are you letting this happen? I would love, in so many words, he has said this, but I would love to read directly in a passage of scripture. That's my business. You just trust me that I've got this. I've already told you that whatever's happening in your life is going to work out for you good. What more do you want? I've already told you that whatever it is you're going through, you're going through it. You're not stuck in the fire. You're not stuck in the flood. You're going through it. Now, whatever you need to get through it, I've already told you, I'll give you what you need. What, you need more strength? You need some wisdom? You need, what do you need? I promise to supply your needs according to my riches and glory. You think I'm going to run out of riches?
Mercy.
Listen, I'm going to let this alone because it's getting gooder and gooder. You know, like you can see what I mean. There's so much in these passages here. If you can get deep into it as we want. We're only on the surface of it, but the surface is tight. But Paul has shown us something about right here where his heart was. And believe it or not, for me, Paul has shown a lot of humility. What y'all think?
Yeah.
He's diverting it off of him. It's on Christ. It's all about Christ.
That's right.
It's all about him. Any questions, comments? I'm going to let this thing be. Y'all see where in these passages where he is focusing on Christ. Did y'all see that? Y'all, along with other things in here. Okay. Yes. Thank you, D. Yeah, y'all can put y'all portion.
Oh, you broke up.
Y'all put it in. That's right. That's
what?
Right. That's right. Don't be ashamed. The laborer is worthy of his hire.
Mercy!
LeRon got extra money because he was at ShopRite, so the change that he can get, he got today. He can go get the back.
I hope and pray that we got something out of this lesson tonight.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, of course, always.
Yeah. And let's continue to pray for one another. Y'all seeing that a lot of stuff is going on right now.
Oh, yes, it is.
A lot of people are asking questions. Some are saying, oh, man, you know, it was one thing where everything is happening out west, but now is it moving up to our part now? We hear all these murmuring amongst folks. And my only question is, okay, if it is, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Are you ready? Are you ready? If you lived out far enough or close enough where you can see the tsunami and see the wave getting ready to come when they tell you it's on its way, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And this is some of the questions we need to ask. It's all right to study the word, and we should be studying it, but to study it, learning different doctrines and learning different trivial things, but we need to be looking and preparing for what is happening today. There are are some things in there in these scriptures that will help us in preparation for what's going on now, to be prepared, rather, for what's going on right now. We need to have some answers from the scripture, not from what I think, you think, or anybody else think, from the scriptures of how to deal with these questions folks are bringing for us today. I think that scripture, we need to be prepared to be able to give an account. Then we can be able to do this. Because these are legitimate questions. Why would the Lord, people asking, why did the Lord allow that boy to be burned up and run through the street? Is that the right question to ask? And if you ask,
if you have the question,
is there an answer in the scripture that can, you know, if for nothing else can pacify him? Because maybe that's, I'm going to tell y'all something. Sometimes that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. And the Lord puts us in many situations where we have to just trust that he knows what he's doing. And it's hard. Some of these lessons seem very hard for us. But you cannot take your focus off Christ.
No.
You cannot. Amen. You cannot take your focus off God. Just because we don't know doesn't mean that it isn't known.
Okay.
It just isn't known by us.
It just isn't known by us.
Yeah, Pastor, we was talking the other day, and a lot of my prayer I devote especially for the youth, not only in the family, but those of the household of faith especially, because they under so many vicious attacks. And, you know, one thing I can say, I thank God for the opportunity to have been able to do my services at the schools for them years. We prevented, through the power of God, we prevented a lot of things that could have happened, abductions, kidnappings, and we had walkie-talkie. Whenever we called up for the police, they were there within a minute or 2 minutes. And we was able to, you know, prevent a lot of stuff. We never had nobody hit by a car where they had to go to the hospital or nothing like that. We just thank God, because he wants us to be preventive and not always reactive. But you find that the people of God are so reactive and conditioned to be reactive, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's the reality. They're conditioned to be reactive instead of preventive. That's a fool's move. I don't care who you are. If you're conditioning somebody to be reactive instead of preventive, that's a foolish move. I don't say too much.
Yeah. All right. Any more comments, questions? If not, somebody want to close us out in prayer?
Well, I'll close us out. I came a little late. But we thank God for what we did here. We thank you, Lord, for those that attend. We thank you for those that would have attended. Maybe something came up. But, Lord, we ask that you let this word grow in us. Let us exude it out in our daily lives. Go with us that we may be as strong as the servants we read about, strong in the faith, strong in our conviction, strong in our knowledge, strong in our proclaiming you. Let it not be just for show, just for a question and answer, but for reality. Because our very souls is at stake. And we thank you for the reality of your word. We thank you for the reality of people here who want to absorb it. And we just thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We thank you for all the safety, the provisions, all you do. Let us not take it for granted. Even the very air we breathe, we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Jesus. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Good Bible study.
Right, good Bible study, as always. Yeah. Right, right. Great. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night,
everybody.
Good night. All right. All right.